Welcome. This is Ikana Day Unplugged, and it is April 25th, 2017. With me today are Jeremy Hawkins in the UK and Mark Pender in the US. I am Ann Picker, Ikana Day's chief economist. Jeremy, along with Thursday's ECB meeting, the last week of the month always brings a plethora of data.
It does. And you say there's certainly plenty of it this week. And there are certainly some quite important ones I think we should touch on as well. Clearly, we'll have the ECB meeting, but I don't think anyone's really expecting too much out of that. But something that the council meeting of the ECB themselves will be watching particularly closely, I expect, will be the flash inflation data for the Eurozone that we'll get on Friday. These are expected to see, importantly, an unwinding of a decline in inflation we saw coming through in the March data. Now, crucially, the general interpretation, I think, probably correctly, is that March inflation was biased down by the timing of Easter last year when it came through quite late. So that pushed down the year-on-year comparison of prices this March, and we should see it being unwound if it is just Easter effects once we get the April data coming through, as I mentioned, the flash numbers on Friday. Were we not to see that, however, then that I think really would start to raise some doubts about just how strong this Eurozone recovery is, and indeed, of course, whether or not the ECB can actually meet its medium-term inflation goals in the first place. So that's certainly going to be one to look at. And the day before that, of course, we'll get the flash inflation figures out of Germany. They're reasonably well correlated with the full Eurozone, so investors should certainly be keeping a wary eye on those as well. Away from the Eurozone, we'll get some, in the UK, away from the Eurozone for the moment anyway. We'll get the preliminary look at first quarter UK GDP. Now, that's expected to see growth slowing from about 0.7% to around 0.5% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. If we get that, then I think the general view would be, well, the UK economy is still holding up pretty well. Risks, of course, that we either get something stronger or weaker. And were we to see anything weaker, and we've had some slightly disappointing figures of late out of the UK, it's going to start to exacerbate some of these concerns that, well, look, we told you Brexit is a big issue in the UK and we're going to see growth slowing and the Bank of England won't be able to raise interest rates. It should be noted that sterling at the moment is still particularly sensitive to the economic data, given the big uncertainty about which way the UK economy is headed. Also, in terms of sort of flash GDP figures, we'll get the French numbers coming out for the first quarter. They're also due on Friday. They're expected to see a relatively stable picture. France appears to be picking up a bit at the moment, but still has some way to go. And without prattling through all the numbers this week, the other one, which is important because the ECB looks at it quite closely, is the Economic Sentiment Index, and that will be released on Thursday. Part and parcel of this, as we talked about previously, is the inflation expectations content coming out of manufacturing services and, crucially, the household as well. The ECB use that when it's formulating its own inflation outlook. So if we see any big moves coming through and that, it certainly will have implications for policy over the more medium term.
Sure. Hey, Jeremy, this is Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
What about those French elections? Now, why was there such a huge relief rally in the stock market? It all came out as expected in Le Pen, though 20 points behind. That's not a surprise. And given what we've seen in other elections, that can be made up. What did you make of that?
I must say, I agree. I wasn't surprised that the euro and stocks bounced, but I was certainly surprised that, as you mentioned, they moved up as far and as sharply as they did. And I suppose it really has to be said that although the opinion polls were opinion polls essentially got it right, we'll have Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen moving through into the second round with pretty well the share of the vote as they predicted. However, I think people have been burnt before by the opinion polls getting it wrong. And there was quite clearly some genuine concerns that perhaps, you know, the result would not be as it was, and we could see a battle between the far left and the far right once we get to the next round in a couple of weeks' time. I think that really has to be it, together with perhaps the fact that people are looking more and more at how Emmanuel Macron's policy is likely to be positioned. And as we understand it at the moment, he's going to be pretty good for financial markets. He's going to be pro-investment. He's very much pro-euro and the European Currency Union. So that should be positive for euro as well. So I think it's partly the relief trade, more so than most people anticipated. And also just general anticipation that were Emmanuel Macron to win, and as we mentioned, everything's pointing in that direction at the moment, could actually be pretty positive for France and the eurozone in general.
Well, is there complacency that there's an assumption that Macron's going to win? And we've seen all these reversals in these elections. What is the assumption there? I mean, is Le Pen given any chance at all?
Oh, she's given the chance, I think, just because, as we've seen before, the opinions and polls have got it wrong. But on the latest polls, it looks as if Macron's going to have a majority of in the order of 30 percentage points. Now, if the polls are wrong, they're going to have to be badly wrong if he were to lose that. But clearly, it's uncertain. We don't know what will happen. So to completely dismiss the possibility of Le Pen victory, I think you'll be going a bit far.
I'm seeing 60-40 polls. You're seeing a 65-35 poll?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're a bit, there's the daily polls being updated as we go along, but yeah, really anything above 20 percentage points and you've got to think it should be a done deal.
Jeremy,
yeah,
what seems to be ignored is the fact that Macron has no political party and there's a parliamentary election in June, and that could affect how his ability to make policy and carry it through.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, we're looking potentially at someone who would be the youngest president since the days of Napoleon, very much untried and tested as far as politics is concerned, and really, the new kid on the block. However, it was interesting that when the announcement of the results on Sunday came through, both the socialists and the conservatives were extremely quick to come out and offer their support to Macron, be it in order to beat Le Pen in the next round, but the speed with which they did that hopefully suggests that he'll be capable of putting together a relatively sound government once the other general elections take place middle of the year.
Thank you. Mark, let's take a look at March in the U.S. economy. It leaves a lot of questions, and this week's GDP release should probably answer some of them.
Yes. Well, March was a very soft month for the economy. Probably a weather effect. Likely a Easter timing effect in play. We also had delayed tax returns. All these may have slowed March, but it was pretty pronounced. The Econoday consensus for Friday's, we're speaking today on Tuesday, and on Friday will be the first estimate for first quarter GDP. The Econoday consensus is only 1.1%. The consensus for consumer spending is only 0.7%. That would be the lowest rate of consumer spending growth in 5 years. So that really was, it really has been quite a, we'll have to see what those final numbers are.
Mark, just a thing to interrupt for a second.
Yeah.
The numbers you're quoting are seasonally adjusted annual rates.
Price adjustments.
Jeremy's were not. And I just want to make that clear.
The inflation numbers, Jeremy, are not seasonally adjusted.
No, the growth numbers are seasonally adjusted, but they're not quoted at an annualized rate. The inflation numbers, certainly as far as the eurozone is concerned, uses raw data on a year-on-year basis, and Easter effects can be so big.
Okay, so you're looking at you're comparing one month with an Easter against another month that doesn't have it. So that would definitely explain the unadjusted year-on-year discrepancy. But we're looking at price-adjusted annualized growth. That's how the U.S. does it for the 3 months, January, February, and March. And the 1.1% rate of annual growth would be very, very low, and that would follow 2.1%. But the consumer spending is even more important because inventories are difficult to get a gauge on what the changes in those are actually mean, and they have a big effect on GDP. But if you just look at consumer spending, which makes up 70% of the report anyway, We're looking, moving from 3.5% to 0.7%, which would be very, very significant. And it would stand in huge contrast with consumer confidence. We had very strong numbers today out Tuesday in housing, which is a big plus for the consumer. And also another very, very strong consumer confidence report. But wages are soft, and this must be the X factor or the unknown factor here that is holding down consumer spending. And so the economy here is playing a little bit of a catch-up game. The second quarter really has to be a bounce-back strong quarter to make up for a weak first quarter. So I think, you know, that's where we stand right now. And for policy, none of the number, the trajectory here of the economy is not pointing to pulling forward rate hikes. The market's essentially expecting two more rate hikes from the Fed this year, and there's not going to be one in May. And if GDP keeps coming in weak and other supporting data keep coming in weak, there may not be one in June, which will push the two rate hikes into the second half of the year, which could make for market volatility, greater volatility in response to the numbers and in response to expectations of when those rate hikes will get done.
So, Mark, what odds would you give on there being no further Fed tightening this year?
Ooh, well, that would be that would mean the economy never did pick up. That would almost, you would almost have to have a shock, an exogenous shock, as they say, to for that kind of scenario to play out. So I would say that that's pretty remote. And also, you know, the Fed is talking about unwinding its balance sheet at the same time. And if that were also pushed back, that would have to be pushed back if the rate hikes didn't play out. I think that that has to be a remote possibility under an economic distress that we're really not seeing. The housing market here is really all the building blocks are falling in place for housing moved to expansion highs late last year and just sat there. It didn't really move. And now we're starting to see these numbers moving right across the board from permits to sales. This morning we had really strong favorable pricing. Home prices are averaging about 7% appreciation, which doesn't sound like a lot, but in a low interest rate, low inflation economy, that's the best. Actually, that's a very strong rate of growth.
Thank you, Mark. Briefly, in Asia, last week it was China with the deluge of data. This week is Japan. And in addition to the data that will be released Friday morning, Japan time, the Bank of Japan is also meeting on Wednesday and Thursday local time. The BOJ will once again have to consider the slower than expected improvement in Japanese inflation. In February, the core CPI, which is their inflation measure, was up a mere 0.2%, is expected to be up 0.3% in March. That data will be released Friday. This is increasing pressure on the bank to review its traditional correlation between tight labor markets, its unemployment rate is something like 2.9%, and wages and consumer prices. This review could result in the bank delaying yet again its estimate of when the country will reach its 2% inflation target. The reason for the review is because wages and inflation haven't increased as much as the BOJ expected, despite continued tight labor market conditions and labor shortages. And any change to the central bank's estimated timing for achieving its 2% inflation target is around fiscal 2018 and would be announced only at the July 1920 policy meeting when it updates its economic and inflation outlook. As far as this week goes, CPI, well, March data, household spending, retail sales, industrial production, and I've missed something. Anyhow, will all be released Thursday night Eastern time, U.S. time. Household spending is expected to decline yet again. CPI, as I mentioned earlier, is expected to crawl up another 0.1%, and industrial production is expected to decline.
So, Anne, what do you think investors' overall impression is at the moment about, you know, what's happening to BOJ policy in particular? Is it actually achieving anything? I mean, is it preventing the economy from spiraling down, but you don't see it because it's kind of almost flattish? Or is it just not really achieving anything in the first place?
And, you know, their trade balance in exports grew nicely this past month. It's very much reliant on the global economy for growth at this point. The population is growing ever older, and it's the domestic economy that's sort of flailing as opposed to the external economy governed by what's going on in the global economy.
So flat, is flat the word for Japan?
I'm sorry?
Is flat the word for the Japanese economy?
Flat to moribund.
Okay. Corpse. Okay.
Thanks, guys.